Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey, yo. We do what we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie. Speak my rants and gems. Speak my rants and gems. Y'all can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens, word to mother lie.
New year, new vibes, happy new year.
Happy new year to you.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Listen, it's been a while, but we're back.
We are back. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. Another day, another dollar. My mama.
Look at you with the bars.
And I'm inside all 2022, FYI, because...
Listen, you were outside last year. I saw you outside so much. I was living vicariously through your outside events.
I am done. Outside is too expensive. I am staying my butt in the house.
It's time to... It's focusing on other things.
I'm locked and loaded.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's time to elevate. It's time to grow. It's time to invest more.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So all 2022, that's all I'm doing. And here on the Rants and Gems, we want to help our community do the same, right?
Yes.
Everybody, act broke all 2022 and invest your money, and especially into real estate. And that's why we give you guys the building blocks to help you build wealth with real estate.
Yes. And the building blocks are going to be amazing, right? Because we need to have actionable steps that our people can take to start building generational wealth. So why not start with building block number one, the foundation of everything?
Credit.
Credit.
And that's why we got our guy, Marcus Bonney, a.k.a. Him 500, Big 500, on today's show. We're going to start off with the ABCs of credit, how to repair your credit, how to build your credit, how to leverage your credit. And then we're also going to talk about the purchase that him and Wall Street Trapper made, Asset Island, which is 40 acres and a mule, a farm. That's
everything.
A whole lot going on with that.
It's so much going on with that. I'm excited to share because we need representation.
Absolutely.
Representation of great things happening in our community so we can see that it's not just certain people. It's possible for all of us.
Absolutely.
This first building block is going to be amazing.
Look, this is going to be a great first building block. So stay tuned. After this brief commercial break, we are going to bring on Marcus Bonney, a.k.a. Him 500. We'll see y'all in a minute.
See you soon. Big shout out to our sponsor, Andre Barad of the Yes Real Estate team in Houston, Texas. He's a realtor, investor, and developer of residential real estate. He's done over $17 million in sales in 2021, and his team wants to do so much more this year. So Andre and the Yes to Real Estate team turn everyday hardworking folks into successful investors. They operate with new builds, townhomes, fix and flips. They do it all. Find him at yestorealestateteam.com.
All right, guys. So thank you to our sponsor for sponsoring today's episode. Like we told you guys in the intro, we have the building blocks for generational wealth with real estate. So the first step if anything, is credit. So that's why today we brought on our guy, Mr. Marcus Barney, a.k.a. Him 500, and he's going to break down the credit game for us. What's good, Marcus?
What's going on, man? I appreciate you guys having me.
Look, we love that you're here. You dressed like Poindexter today, we know it's going to be some great information.
He's ready to drop some gems. You know what I mean? He's a certified gem dropper.
Certified gem dropper, top of the year.
It said it's called gems. I had to come.
He came with the gems. So look, first things first, okay. When did you fall in love with real estate? We got to
fall in love with real estate?
That. Yep.
It was one of them, like, love-hate relationships. You know, like a, what was that movie with Martin, right? Like, not waiting to exhale. What was the other movie?
A Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. That you made me feel some kind of way when you said when you fell in love with real estate. I got my real estate license 2006.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So it was beautiful. Everything was perfect. Like, when I said Thin Line Between Love and Hate, I was like, I'm like the woman. Like, I'm the one that was scorned because the crash happened 2008.
Yeah.
We happened to be in Stockton, California, which was the worst place when it came to actually foreclosures. Mm-hmm. So I was actually building my real estate portfolio at 18. I thought life was set. You know, when you go into real estate and you getting $14,000 checks at 18 years old, I'm speaking at colleges, I'm speaking at churches, talking to the youth. And at my site, I was retiring at 30. So I'm like, yo, life is over. I ain't know real estate markets could crash. Mm. Mm. So, fell in love, but it ended quick.
Quick and brutal.
Quick and brutal.
It was like, so that's why it's a thin line between love and hate.
We ended up doing loan modifications.
Okay.
So by 1920, I'm doing loan modifications. The same people that was happy to be at the closing table with me supporting a young kid is now saying, you know, this is why we don't do business with, you know, we're trying to give him a shot and, you know, he don't know, you know what I'm saying? And So I don't know if I can cuss or not, but
you can cuss.
He don't know shit. So I'm like, now I'm getting crucified because now we having to redo their loans and people is losing their homes and People got investment properties. It was brutal.
Wow.
Wow. That's a really big thing, though, that you understand loan modification. So you know the real estate game. You understand loan modification. So you've really been in the game long enough to really teach people a thing or two about how to prepare their credit to purchase a property.
Yeah. And it's a lot to go into it. But I think a lot of times we overcomplicate it. And that's the main thing, especially when it comes to credit. I think a lot of people stay away from real estate because of the fact they don't understand. Like, they're like, yo, my credit ain't together, I can't do it. Or I don't got income like this, so I can't do it. And a lot of times, you know, I see people work jobs and be like, yo, I got my W-2s, is on point. I got my job, I've been working 7 years, but my habits is bad mm-hmm. when it comes to credit and saving money. Yeah. And understanding financial literacy. So now we got Rancid Gems, we get to talk about it.
No, 100%. And That's why, you know, Kiana and I wanted to really make this year really dedicated to giving people those steps, right?
Okay.
To go out here and buy some real estate in 2022. Because look, the black home ownership rate is 42%. Our white counterparts is 75% plus, right?
Gotcha.
And the wealth gap is crazy. And it all starts because they had a head start. Let's keep it a buck, right?
Absolutely.
The way the world was designed, it was designed for them, not for us. But now with platforms like Rants and Gems, with EYL, we have the opportunity to teach our people the right steps. So almost 60% of our community is renting right now. And their problem is, a lot of people's problem, is credit.
It's credit.
Like you just said, mismanagement of money, no financial literacy. So that's why we wanted to bring you on today. So that way we can speak to those people who may have like the 480 credit score, the 500 credit score. Like, what are the steps to rebuilding your credit?
So when it comes to building credit, one of the key things that a lot of our community get hurt with is understanding what the report needs to look like, right? And I hate going over it because I think sometimes it's repetitive when you tell people, yo, you gotta have low utilization, you gotta have low inquiries, right? But what happens is we never talk about actually the steps to do so, right? So if I tell you, yeah, you need to have under 10% utilization to have the optimal credit report. Most people say you need to have 30% utilization or lower, right? And with 30% utilization or lower, the issue with that is that the 30% is okay, but it's not helping you. Mm-hmm. When it's under 10%, it's actually helping your score grow. So these are the things, is like, yo, have your credit utilization under 10%. I tell people all the time, if when you got to put your utilization low, I can't tell you that you're going to get you got 50,000. I teach you how to get 50,000 in lines of credit, and you mean to tell me that you can only use 5,000 or lower? People are like, yeah, all right. Well, I already used 20 when I got the approval letter.
Right, right.
So since I got 20 off the approval letter, I already spent that because I had bills and things I needed to do. So what do? I tell people, listen, understand education is key. Understand that. Learn your credit cards, that when it comes to utilization, understand, listen, you can have, let's say you got 50,000 in lines of credit. Well, learn first that, okay, well, if I can change my due date once a year. So you could literally change your credit card due date once a year. Well, take half of your limits. I don't care if you got 5 fives and, you know, 2 tens and another 5. That's 25,000 each. Change half of them to the 24th. The other 25,000, I mean, to the 10th and the 24th. So half will be due on the 24th, half will be due on the 10th. Mm-hmm. So now you have your credit card split. So when they say, you know, about your utilization, understand, listen, when these credit cards are due, you can use some of the credit cards here to pay these ones off, right? And most people don't understand that. And I say, listen, this is how, instead of me just saying, yo, you need to have under 10%, well, here, now you can use 25,000. If you use that 25,000, you got 25,000 sitting over here, right? You could take the 25,000 from here and pay this 25,000 off. Most people go, well, how do you move the money on credit cards? Say, listen, you set up a QuickBooks account. Most of us are entrepreneurs and business owners. You can set up a QuickBooks account and invoice yourself and literally pay through QuickBooks and cut the fee. See, it's just certain ways and understanding, you know, which QuickBooks accounts to set up and how to invoice yourself. But now you can transfer the money over. So now it's like, okay, I may be 30% in utilization. I may be at 40% utilization. Now I can actually enjoy my credit cards a little bit. Meanwhile, wherever I'm doing working to pay my credit cards down, I can leverage that and still use my credit. Because I hate when people have credit and be like, yo, the first thing people say is like, yeah, 10% utilization. All right. But I'm at 80 right now, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you get it down?
Exactly.
From the 80.
And it's like, pay it. And then it's like, yeah, all right, I'm not buying no house.
Yeah, because by the time they do that, it's like you got $80,000 in debt. You take $80,000 off on a credit card. Where is the money for your down payment and your closing costs and the other expenses it takes to purchase a property?
So imagine, right? So when you say building credit, the thing is this. A lot of times people will go, well, how do I get high limit credit cards? Because what I just told you can help you make a down payment on your house. Because Matt can't see your high utilization if he can't see it. No way that Matt can say, yeah, you got high utilization or your credit card is hurting your debt to income ratio.
Right.
Because now they don't know that that $25,000 that's flipping back and forth, that $25,000 is gone. So that's going to help you already with the approvals. But what happens is we have to understand is this, is that we need to make sure that we build proper relationships with banks. When we're building our credit initially, I tell people, listen, I don't believe in secured credit cards. The reason I don't believe in secured credit cards, because you need 10 plus positive accounts in your credit report. And if you got to get to 10 plus positive accounts, most people are like, yo, I probably got 2 or 3. And those are maybe student loans. And we'll get to that on the other side, right?
I'm ready for that one.
But if you got 2 to 3 positive accounts on your credit report, how do we build? What's the accounts I need to add to get to 10? So I tell people, I say, listen, when you're trying to get to 10 plus positive accounts, you can literally leverage secured loans, right? I always recommend secured loans because we're going to be able to go to the bank and get a credit card. We can get a business credit card, a personal credit card, but go try to get a business loan. It's like pulling teeth. But you can get a credit card, right? A personal credit card. Or if you do a secured credit card, make sure that they have the secured credit cards that convert over into unsecured credit cards. So when the banks look at it, when you go to apply for more lines of credit, they look at it and respect it as yours, not just a trade line.
That's a gem. Mm-hmm. And can we talk about that? Because we are always telling people to get these secured lines, you know, get the secured credit cards. Do you know, can you give the people at least 2 places they can go where a credit card can go from secured to unsecured?
You can do, Navy Federal got one. Navy Federal got one, U.S. Bank got one, and SunTrust, you can do it.
Love it.
So you said something about the payment date, mm-hmm. right? What is the significance of paying your bills on the payment date versus the due date? Because everybody's been trained due date, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is the significance between the two? Why would you change the payment date to these days? Like, why, really break that down.
Why would you change the payment?
Yeah, like why? Like, why pay on the payment date and not the due date?
Okay, so when you say payment date and due date.
Mm-hmm. So you know how when you get your, I mean, oh, your statement date, right?
Your statement date. Okay, statement date and due date. Okay, because I'm like, you lost it.
Yeah. Statement okay. date, my bad.
So your statement date is the date that your statement closes. Correct. So the reason I said switch it to the 10th and 24th is because you got a due date. I always tell people pay 3 days before your due date, right? Pay 3 days before your due date, but understand whatever your balance is on your statement date is what's going to actually report to your credit reports. Mm. That's why we leave 14 days in between from the 10th and 24th, is because it's going to give a lot of time for it to report. So that statement date is what's going to cut off. That's what's going to report to your credit report. It don't matter what you can pay 100% down on your due date, turn around and be like, dang. And now when your statement date hit, your utilization is through the roof and your credit score drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure that you understand it's three important dates, right? You got your due date, you got your statement date, and you got your reporting date. Everybody should know those three things. You need to know exactly what date is going to report and hit your credit report with what date your statement balance hits your report. So these are the dates that everybody should know for each credit card, right? So as you build in credit and you leverage in it, because credit is dangerous, and It's by no means do I tell people, listen, it's a sweet side to it, right? And it's a lot of benefits, but with the benefits come habits.
Right.
And with the proper habits, we can leverage it responsibly and properly, and it can allow us to win. That's what's important about these conversations, is because it's not just go get credit and blow it. No, it's not go get credit and use it to get in business and not understand the principles to have the proper steps in place. Education is key. But before I can educate you all day. They can sit here and you can listen to me right now. But if you don't apply the things when I say the three dates, if you don't go and find those out, then it don't matter.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, but let me get back to, because I want to make sure, since I'm here, that I give the gems on how to build that report out. So
that's what I'm talking about.
With the, you can use secure credit cards or secure loans, but use it with institutions that you're going to build with. You got different companies out there that do things like you can report your utility bills, right? You can report your utility bills. You can report your rent. You can do, if you got family members, to add you on as authorized users. These are different things that you can do. But one of the things, this is to build up to the 10, right?
Why 10? Why that number 10?
Yes. That's the amount of accounts that you want to get to be in the green, in the positive, the most efficient, is they want you to have at least 10 plus positive accounts on your credit report when they judge your credit profile. Mm. So that's the key thing, is getting 10 plus positive accounts on there, right? So when I tell people we like to rent reporting companies, is that you want to actually get two companies to report your rent. Why? Because it's going to give you two accounts to report every single month. And it goes back 2 years. So that'll give you 2 years of age, and that help with your history as well, right? We get to that next. It's going to help with your history. Also, once you do those two accounts, I tell people you go and you can do two or three secured loans, right? With the secured loans, those are going to hurt your credit at first because they're fresh. But you let them go for 6 months, and then you knock them down one by one. Right. So you may go, and let's say you get three secured loans or two secured loans and a secured credit card that converts to unsecured for the first 6 months. When you add them on, it's going to drop the new account, and the max utilization is going to drop your report. Mm. You're going to pay it down every single month for the 6 months. That's going to give you three on-time payments every month. That's going to give you three accounts dropping utilization every single month for 6 months. Then after that, you knock them down by one. On the 6 month, you may drop the first one down, boom, all the way down to like 10%. The next, and your score gonna shoot up. The next month, drop it one down, boom, score gonna shoot up. Drop the next one down, boom, score gonna shoot up. It's a process, right?
Okay.
But now you got about six accounts on your credit report. I tell people, listen, if you don't have people that can add you as authorized users, that's fine. One of the things that most people, like myself, I don't know nobody who don't got student loans.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I know.
Speaking for myself.
I know.
Yes. Right? I think everybody has.
Realize that when we remove the student loans off our credit report, it does more damage than good. Mm. I don't know nobody got a student loan yesterday. Mm-hmm. You got that student loans a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or decades ago.
Yes. Right? Decades.
So that age is on there. What I tell people is the best way is to try to monitor and clean those student loans up. Keep those student loans in good faith. But from there, once you get the student loans in good standings, especially kids going into high school and going into college as parents, we need to understand and educate our youth. let's make sure these student loans stay in good position, because this is probably going to help you leverage and fund whatever it is you're going to do after college, instead of trying to remove them. People are trying to remove them and they hurt their credit.
Yeah.
The student loans help people get approved for higher limit credit cards.
100%, because like you said, it's the length that, you know, the time that it's been somebody's credit.
And it's the amount.
You know what I'm saying? And the dollar amount, right?
That's
right.
And the number of accounts.
And the number
who
of
got
accounts
one.
And you know most what? I think they normally have like three or four under one umbrella.
Yeah. And at one point, I get most people, they have like 6, 7, up to 15, 16 accounts, because they break them up. It'd be like $300 here, $3,000 here, $2,000 here. And it breaks up. But these are the things that help you build your report. See what I'm saying? So these are the things that we need. Then we need to look on age. So the age of your report is important. This is where, you know, if you're going into home buyer, like I tell people, I want to get you to 5 years of age, average age. But going into home buyer, 1 to 2 years, you okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So you literally can run a play. And like I just broke down, you could run this move for a year. If you got any student loans, that's going to help you. If you don't have student loans, you can then offset it and try to add an age trade line to it, and it'll help you take it to the next level.
Dope.
Oh, that's great information.
So we need 10 accounts, at least 10 accounts.
Yeah.
Right? We need to be paying our credit card bills, cell phone bills, whatever's on our credit report, we need to be paying it on our statement dates.
You need to pay it. I pay 2-3 days before my due date.
Before your due date. But the statement date is when
it needs to be dropped down.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be dropped down to 10% or below.
Yes.
So that way, when it's reported to the credit report, if you started off at 10,000, you drop it to 1,000. Now, on the statement date, it closes. Then it's going to report to the credit bureaus as $1,000. So you got to, you know, 10% utilization right there.
Exactly.
And then you just pay off whatever your bill is before the due date, the balance, or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
That's some really good information. So now we're talking. So you already kind of covered how to get someone from zero to getting some great credit. What about those that have already damaged their credit? And let's just say you have all these open collections accounts. Do they pay them off? Do they pay them in full? Should they negotiate them? Like, what are some strategies like that you use to help people get their credit prepared from that aspect?
One of the things I do is this, is that I always challenge the validity, right, of accounts. So I always want to go on and challenge, listen, is it verifiable and is it accurate, right? That's the key thing that I always do is challenge, is it verifiable, is it accurate, right? You can use 609s, you can use 611 letters, right? A lot of times is that we don't even properly challenge. We send letters out, and we don't even properly challenge the negative items on our credit report. A lot of times, we don't know that when we actually send in a dispute, who they're verifying through, right? So a lot of times, they don't know, like, LexisNexis, SageStream, Innovis, CoreLogix, ARS. You know, they don't know these companies exist. Mm-hmm. So these companies house data. So since these companies house data, a lot of times, like, we get a 60% return, 70% return on deletion just by opting out of the secondary bureaus, right? And somebody will say, well, yo, how do we contact them? Google it. CoreLogix, ARS, Innovis, SageStream, LexisNexis. Google those companies. Figure out how you can contact them. Some of them you can do by mail. Some of them you can do over the phone. All you do is opt out and tell them, listen, I didn't give you permission to validate my information. The credit bureaus don't have... Oh, you think the credit bureaus got, oh, yeah, listen, let me, how do I validate that he lived here and all of the details and they house it? No, they use secondary data furnishers to match the information and go, nope, this is accurate with what the collection company had.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So they need to get themselves off of that list first, and then go in and say, okay, let's just dispute the validity of these. A question I have is, and I heard this, and I've tried this before a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I literally had like 15 open accounts, all little stuff. You know, sometimes growing up, you know, poverty, shout out to my mom, got the cable in my name, but you know, no big deal. Anyway.
Right.
So when you're going to dispute these items, I thought I could just log on, press the dispute button, and then boom, I'm going to win my case because I wrote my words. Mm-hmm. Then I later found out when you press that button, it limits you from truly disputing the case because now you're agreeing to the terms of the company. So can you talk a little bit about that and why someone would maybe want to dispute a different way?
With what, doing it like online?
Yes.
So, I don't got my exact verbiage on here. It's certain times you could dispute online, okay. Right? That work and with systems, because a lot of these a lot of new companies are coming out with technology. It's evolving so quickly, right? So now, we had a company that we was using doing disputes during 24 hours. The company's gone now. they shut it down. But with doing it, you know, via mail, when you're sending your actual dispute letters, you're sending it into the credit bureaus versus, you know, a lot of people don't read the fine print of what you agree to. And so a lot of people is just clicking through to get it done quickly, yeah. Right? But once you actually, when you're sending in letters, you're doing it directly with the credit bureaus and what's on your letters, what your terms are, of what you're disputing, right? So once you go in, you know, they always put fine print of things that you opted into or you agreeing to, certifying that it's you. You giving them that this is my name, I am this person. Now you certify your IP address, you know. So
correct.
A lot of these things come back now with technology is that you don't think, oh, my IP address got anything to do with it. Well, when you did the credit application for American Express, this was your IP address. Oh, yeah, cool. This is you now today. Yes, this is me. I'm disputing that this don't belong to me from the same IP address that you applied for. Okay, wow. Cool. Yeah, this is you. Yeah, now it's going to stay on here another 7 years that you got to hold this. But this is that, you know, because we just don't think about technology. We thinking they're not tracking us. It's a grid for everything. So I tell people, listen, when you send in your dispute letters, right, even with that, it's a system. It's a computer that's reading the dispute letters. I tell you, look, you literally can backdate your dispute letter 2 weeks. If you backdate your dispute letter 2 weeks, what happens is the letter is going to be read by an automated machine. It's going to read what you put on the letter. If you backdate it 2 weeks, follow back up with a 30-day demand to comply, let's see what the system do to itself.
Mm. Jim.
These are things that I not say, listen, it's just understanding that it's a system. Understanding that CFPB is your best friend. A lot of times these consumers.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah.
What's CFPB?
Slow it down.
Okay. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Okay. All right.
That's the person who's for us, right? A lot of times these are private companies that, like TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, private companies. So since they're private companies, they don't got your best interest at heart. The best interest is the people who's going to pay them. Right?
Yeah.
CFPB is a company that governs them, which makes them stand on and abide by the laws. And this is like, I can't go into all the laws and consumer financial protection,
yeah.
You know, today, but you want to understand, this is why you study the laws and understand that with consumer finance, with CFPB, you can literally do disputes through Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is the government that's going to hold them accountable. See, a lot of times you can challenge your inquiries. You can challenge, like when you go to these dealerships, you can make them pay you. You know, for every inquiry that they hit you with, you can make them pay you for actually running your credit when you didn't give them permission.
Because you only gave them permission to run it once.
Exactly.
But they ran it through 100 different banks.
Not just 100.
To try to get you approved.
Feel like yep. About 1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy trying to buy a car sometimes.
And that's the thing is that we just unaware sometimes of the systems that's out there to actually help us. Because not only can we dispute through them, we actually can sue through them, right? So we can actually sue CFPB. Hey, go on here and follow suit because this isn't supposed to happen.
Right.
So this is, it's just a lot to understand, like, how to actually leverage, like, understanding credit and the whole spectrum. But at first, I tell people, listen, it's just understanding what your report needs to look like. Once you go into you messed it up, now you got to go into a whole deeper realm.
Absolutely.
Of fixing it. And that's where, you know, I tell people, look, you could use letters, dispute letters. You can find them online, 609, 611. You always change the verbiage to make it sound like a real person. A lot of times people go and they create a dispute letter. They take a template from online and they just mail it in.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Guess what? A million other people Googled that letter.
Yeah. It was like, no.
Bro, you can't. Change your verbiage up a little bit. Put some misspelled words. Change the font. Change the color of what you put on the paper. If you want to mess with the machine, they got to read it. Put it in red. Mm. Now a human has to deal with it. Humans have errors. It's the reason you got bad credit, because human error. Yeah. Guess what? Now a human got to sit here and type all this stuff in. Miss one of my account numbers wrong if you want to. It's automatic deletion.
How true is it that on your credit report, if you have like wrong addresses and things of that nature, that actually brings down your score too? Because somebody was telling me that. I'm like, I don't know how true that is, but I know you can have that stuff deleted off if it's inaccurate. But will that actually improve your credit score if you're deleting like old or incorrect addresses, like misspells of your name, you know, things like that?
So with that, what happens there is that, yes, it's a double benefit, because if your name is misspelled on your credit report, that means that some account has your name misspelled. Mm. So what I'm doing is I'm going to remove it. If it's addresses, it's just having a lot of data on your report. When you remove those little items, it can help you 2-3 points, right? But if you have a wrong address, somebody got your address wrong and reported to your credit report. So if you got most people who got a lot of negative accounts, most likely they got majority negative accounts. So when they go to remove the address, it's 2 or 3 accounts that may be tied to that address that's incorrect. Well, what happens is that you go remove the address and you challenge that account, and they go to challenge the validity of it if it's accurate or verifiable. Well, now it's inaccurate. Since the account is inaccurate, they got to remove it off your credit report. Mm. You got it?
There we are.
I like that. Say no more.
Yeah, say less.
Look at your credit report. Now, before you go, sorry, how can people look at their credit reports? Like, what's good tools to, like, look at the credit report so that way someone can see, like, all right, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong?
Identity, you can use Identity IQ, right? You can use Identity IQ. You can either use Identity IQ or you can use Experian, right? You can go to Experian, pay for the account. Pay the credit bureaus to give you full access. And what happens is, once you get into Experian and you have an account with them, it's a lot more that you can do when it comes to looking at your report, looking at your soft pools. It's a lot that come with that. Mm.
So those are your two favorites. What's the problem with Credit Karma? I mean, everybody loves Credit Karma.
A lot of people use Credit Karma, but
it's just a different scoring model.
I think it's convenient. The app is pretty, you know. You get alerts. Oh, you're up 25 points. You feel good about yourself.
Yeah. It's a Vantage score, so it's a different scoring model that's not used by the bank. He's not pulling from that. He's not using that. When they come to get a home, they not going to Credit Karma looking at your Vantage score. It's not accurate, right? Mm. I tell people, listen, it's okay. I see so many people love to go, I'm a credit guy, and don't look at Credit Karma. It's like, listen, look at what you want to look at. When it's time, go to myfico.com. Pull your score. Understand the different scoring models.
Yeah.
Understand what MG going to pull from, what FICO he going to pull.
Right.
Understand that's when you start looking at it. But it's okay to look and go, hey, Joe Blow just put an inquiry on my report. Whether my score is correct or not, this inquiry is.
Right.
And I know it's free. And I know it's super convenient for me. You know, I already got it because they got so many users on there. I say, listen, if you're going to review and you use that for review, that's okay. But don't sit there and go, yeah, I got an 820 off of Credit Karma.
Yeah. Because when we pull, it's probably 640.
Listen, a little less.
Yeah.
It's a little less. I've seen respectfully.
I've seen that movie before.
Yeah.
Where people are like, how's my score so low? I got an 800. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yes.
That is Credit Karma. That's like a fucking Zestimate. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not really paying attention to that.
So Zestimate ain't correct?
Nah.
Yeah, right.
That is off.
But that's the point, is like you want to understand where to go and really look and check into it at. Mm-hmm. But then we start understanding is that the biggest point is this. I didn't give a damn about credit. Mm. Most people don't give a damn about credit. You know why? Everybody before us had fucked up credit.
Yep.
And then they go, well, it's so many benefits to having good credit. And people be like, name them. Buy a house and get a credit card for emergencies, right? Mm-hmm. And think about it, that was it. You get a credit card, you save it for emergencies, and you only put gas on it.
True.
Get gas and use it for emergencies. Well, you mean to tell me I gotta worry about a Vantage score, a MyFICO, an inquiry, a secure credit card, an unsecured credit card, a 10% utilization, I gotta do all of this for that?
Yes.
My guy, I'm going to keep renting. Right? Like, why wouldn't I rent? At that point, it's too much work. I got to do all this work. What's the benefit? That's why I got into the benefit of telling people, listen, it's benefits when you start having good credit. You need to know the perks of having good credit, the things that it can do for you.
Yes.
That's why, you know, like when I started telling people about like adding people on authorized users, that was one way of having good credit. But nowadays, you need to add 10 plus positive accounts, right? You guys in real estate, you guys are in business, you guys is in marketing. I said, well, look, Ransom Gems, they gonna be all day. I see they run a podcast and talking about real estate. Ransom Gems, that's a hell of a name.
So appreciate it. You know, right. I give credit where credit is due.
Ransom Gems.
It's amazing. And right, it's an automatic. It's like recession proof. It's like Ransom Gems show. I'm tuning in. Recession proof. What the hell is that? Yeah. Right. So what I tell people, I say, listen. When you're building your credit up, figure out ways to monetize off of it. So now if I tell you, hey, listen, you know, the trucking market is so inflated right now. In trucking, it almost costs a whole trailer. The trailer costs just as much as a truck.
Absolutely.
Yes.
People don't know you can go finance a trailer.
Yes. Yep.
You can go finance a trailer for $20,000, $25,000, pay $400 or $500 a month while building your credit. So if I got a $400 or $500 a month note for actually financing a trailer, well, I'm going to go rent it. I'm going to rent it to EYL since they like to wrap trucks and put their name on it. Yeah. So I'm going to rent it to EYL. I'm putting it Ransom Gems.
Yeah.
Let's look, $1,000 a month. This truck is going to, a billboard in a city gets a few hundred thousand views.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's try a couple million.
Yeah.
On the road, traveling through cities and states that people where you would never get exposed to, but since you got a cool name like Ransom Gems and you put a QR code on there that leads directly to your podcast, the number one podcast, whatever the best episode, right?
Yeah.
Like the episode on Ransom Gem with him 500. Yeah. You're going to put the QR code.
First of
right?
all, we like it's the plug
that.
For me.
I like how we're
you know
listen,
what? Okay,
power
we got
manifestation.
Let's just cheer today. I like your
you know,
staff.
Big Trap is somewhere.
I love your style.
Listen, he always go before me. He's always in out there in the hangings. But I'm good. So what I tell people is this, right? Is that
shout out the trap.
Always right? Big Trap.
So when you put the QR code on there, people can scan it. It's a hot name that's going to be attractive. So people scan the QR code. Guess what? You gain impressions. If you got a different business, you can make a landing page for it, right? But for the person building their credit, it's $450. It's $1,000 a month for you to put your business on a truck, and it's $1,000 for the person to rent my trailer because they probably already maxed out their credit because they got to finance the trucks, and people struggle to get trailers. So now I'm making $2,000 a month off moving real estate, right? And it's a different form of real estate. It's just real estate. Now I'm collecting money off of it.
Yeah.
Off of having good credit or building my credit and qualifying for it, I'm making $1,600 a month.
You're a landlord.
And it seems like what you're really telling people is that we have to stop being afraid of credit. What we were taught about credit was using on emergencies only, you know, use your own money, never leverage. And what we have to do is shift that mindset. And how do you, like, we know you have the huge program, right? Mm-hmm. How do you go about helping people shift their mindset? Because they can't even buy a house. Mm-hmm. As a broker, I can tell you, you can't buy a house without having at least 3 trade lines. At least. Mm-hmm. And they need to be diverse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're one of those people like you're afraid of credit, we're going to feel like you're afraid of a mortgage, too. So now you can't get it.
Gotcha. Like I just said, right? Making people see the benefit in credit first. Mm-hmm. If I don't see a benefit, I just gave them a play on a cash benefit. You make $1,400 a month, $1,600 a month profit. Mm-hmm. What does that do? That gives you earned income because now that's your business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
From you building your credit, you just started a business.
Right.
You go set the LLC up, mytrailers.com, right? Rent my trailer, rent my, and shout out to my guy with Rent My Trailers. It's another guy out there that actually does rent trailers, but he didn't do the advertisement aspect, right? And so now people are getting into that. So now you go set up the rental trailers promotions.com, right?
Yeah.
That's a business. That's a stream of income.
Because
y'all need to see what? Tax returns.
Got it.
You need to see income. Okay, well, I might get an entrepreneur loan. I might go through the entrepreneur way and say, well, let me just run the bag up. I done went and got 4 trailers. Now I'm making $8,000.
Listen, it's the entrepreneur loan for me, baby.
Yeah, now you love it.
That's 7 now. If you got 4 trailers at what? Let's just round it off at 15. Mm-hmm. You at $6,000 a month. You mean to tell me in 4 to 6 months I'm up $20,000, $25,000? Now we talking what, 20% down? No doc?
Yeah, no problem.
You in there?
You in there?
But now, and my credit is okay. But it's just me leveraging my credit. But now if I realize and go, wait, I can only put down a few dollars because I got good credit and I got cash flow coming in now. Now people start to look at it different. But nobody teaches us how to cash flow off of having good credit.
No. Mm.
So that's where like the credit to cash plays and things like that come in. It's because it's like, let's just give people a way to benefit from the work that they put in.
Yeah.
I got to learn all of this and no benefit.
The house is the benefit, but you also want to see the cash flow.
But, yeah. And with the house, like now, okay, so now I tell people this. I say, look, when you go to purchase a house, it's when you purchase a house, it's a lot that you can do with it, right? A lot of people get afraid of purchasing a house. Why? It's like, yo, it's anxiety of ownership, but they don't realize that, listen, when you purchase a house, you can leverage credit to cover your utility bills. Yeah. You can leverage credit to not have to pay your mortgage. You can leverage credit. not pay your mortgage, but to not pay for utility bills and your insurance.
Correct.
Right? So your homeowner's insurance, not mortgage, but homeowner's insurance, things like that, with the reward points that you gain off of having good credit. Mm. See, everything I do in business, everything I do in life, I put on credit cards. Why? So I could accumulate reward points. I understand which credit cards I need to go use. For me, I do marketing advertisement, so I use my Gold Amex. But if I'm in real estate, let's just say if I was even on the investment side and I'm building, I'm looking at what banks pair up and partner good with Home Depot.
Yeah. Correct.
How am I going to get the most out of Home Depot, or is it going to be Lowe's? Because one, it's usually a Chase or Amex is going to go with one, and one bank is going to go with the other, right?
Yes.
It's like Delta and American Airlines. Like,
exactly.
You with Amex or you with, and so what happens is you figure out who you're building your relationship with and figure out, okay, what cards am I getting to align so these reward points, I get the maximum benefit so I can now, if I'm flipping homes, I get reward points to cover that. If I'm an entrepreneur, I'm leveraging my credit to get reward points, and I can use a website. I can use a website. Like sometimes some companies with utility bills and groceries, I mean utility bills, they don't accept credit card payments.
Correct.
Right? So you use a website like Plastique.
Yes.
You can use Plastique to cover that payment that don't accept credit cards.
Mm.
You can use your reward points to pay Plastique off. So now you getting, since I got good credit, I don't even got to pay for my homeowner's insurance. I ain't got to pay, or, you know, I ain't got to pay for my car insurance. I ain't got to pay for my light bill, my gas bill, because I'm leveraging reward points.
Yeah.
Then I'm leveraging reward points to cover over my transactions from Walmart. Mm-hmm. So all my electronics, my toiletries, and my groceries is in one place. So I'm taking the reward points, and I'm leveraging them to lower my overhead.
Absolutely, because now, like you said,
that's
if you're
great.
Investing in, you're using Home Depot, you're partnering up the right way, you're spending all, you're gonna buy your materials and everything like that anyway, regardless. So you might as well use your credit card versus your cash. You get your reward points, and now those reward points can actually pay for your primary, the utilities at least.
Yep.
At the very least.
At the very least. So now you're already gonna spend the money.
Right.
It's just you playing the game now.
Yeah. I have a question. Uh-huh. Especially when we're thinking about first time buyers, or what about people that are like, listen, I bought a house, probably bought a house back in 07, 06, right? Mm-hmm. And now I foreclosed, I had to do a loan modification, or, you know, I had to file bankruptcy, and now they're in the process of rebuilding. Mm-hmm. When you're working with people that have those type of blemishes on their credit, or challenges, so to speak, I like to call it a challenge, because challenges can be overcome.
Absolutely.
What is it that you would say, like, how do you help them start to rebuild? Because, we know, they're looked upon like, oh, wow, you had this foreclosure, you had this bankruptcy, we may or may not be able to help you. What companies or credit cards should they look into, or trade lines they should look into
that
to help rebuild
it? That work with folks that are credit challenged?
That are credit challenged, but specifically foreclosures, past foreclosures, bankruptcies, and we know loan modifications affect them as well.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to that, like, it's certain banks, the deal is that you can go to banks and they all got different criterias, right? I tell people the worst thing people always want to do is go to Amex, right? You want to understand, I always deal with local credit unions, right? And the reason I deal with credit unions and different credit unions is because they're more forgiving and understanding on the rebuilding side, right? But that's where, when I, like I stated earlier, if, you know, Lord forbid, you got a foreclosure, if you had good credit at that time, most likely, guess what you did? You toasted the banks too.
Yep.
Chase ain't forgiving.
Nope.
Right?
Chase never forgives.
But not Chase.
But Chase don't.
In my Rosé voice.
Listen, Chase never forgives.
Chase is not forgiving. Amex, It's very hard to get back, but they will if you understand how to work the system. But this is where you come in, and that's why it's important, like with the secured loans and the secured credit card that converts over into unsecured, because then they'll give you a chance to start out over here with your own money and then build over and flip over into it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's the importance of why I tell people all the time, is like, listen, you have to understand credit unions, right? Can I, and different credit unions. Most time people don't understand how to go and maximize the benefit on building the relationships with specific credit unions and then getting the max from them, right? Because they don't know, hey, you know, Johnny, you know, the farming credit union of South Georgia is going to pull from TransUnion. Meanwhile, PenFed is going to pull from Equifax, and this one is going to pull from Experian. Well, if you understand that these three pull from different bureaus every time I apply for credit from them, guess what? It's only one inquiry. Mm-hmm. So if I can get two credit cards from here on one inquiry, I'm two credit cards up. If I can do that three times, I'm six credit cards to the good with one inquiry across the board on each bureau, right? Or most people don't know, like Bank of America is good for giving. Bank of America will give you two credit cards, one inquiry. So I tell people, listen, build your, if you start off and you rebuild it, build with Bank of America. Then once you get into good standing, you can go and get two credit cards at one time. So now, and it's only gonna hit one inquiry, right? Same thing with American Express. If you can get in good grace with American Express, you could run American Express six, seven business cards. See what I'm saying? But most people don't know, if you have an American Express card, you can literally go and apply for five or six credit cards on American Express in one day and either get a soft pull or one inquiry. Since you already got a report with them, they may just do a soft pull. If you're okay with them, they may give you one hard inquiry, but you can go get five credit cards from them in one day. But use your business. As long as your business is together and your business is set up, you could literally leverage that and grow your portfolio. And now guess what? Since you have those funds available, that can help you with your deposit. Hell, if you don't run the play on making money off a trailer, leverage your credit. Hell, go get $50,000, $100,000 and still run the entrepreneur loan, leveraging your credit, high in your utilization back and forth. And now you beat the system of having to go through and say, okay, I got to have W-2s for this loan. And my credit got, you know, not just credit, because your credit going to be okay because you applied for credit. But now you beating the W-2 side if you don't want to go through that, or if you can't qualify for enough house. Because that's a lot of times people start making money and they be like, well, I want more than what they qualify me for.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. Happens every day. Look, we have to knock on some type, but we say it happens every day.
Happens every single day. Yeah. Look, we're talking a lot about credit, but before we get out of here, first of all, there's a lot of great information in this, right?
Appreciate
it. But we got to talk about, you know, real estate, because you and our brother, Big Trap, Wall Street Trapper, just got your own reparations.
Right.
You know what
Big
I'm saying?
Big deal. Big deal.
40 acres and a mule, a.k.a.
Asset Island is amazing.
We need to know, what the hell made you two guys go out here and buy Asset Island?
That had nothing to do with me.
Right place, right time.
Yo, listen, I was in Vegas. No, I think I was in Las Vegas or San Diego. He called like, yo, Fi. I said, what's up? He said, yo, you want to buy a farm? I said, what? He said, yo, you want to buy a farm, 40 acres. Automatically, it said 40 acres in a mule. I was like, yeah, bet. I seen the meme in my head. I seen, yo, Wall Street Trapper buys farm, 40 acres in a mule. I said, yeah, bet, run it. He like, yo, all right, let's do it. Immediately, my brain starts to work, too. I'm like, okay, so we're buying a farm. I told my wife, yo, babe, we're going to buy a farm, 40 acres. She was like, for real? I was like, yeah. She's like, how much is it? I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Me and Trap, we ain't talking about numbers.
We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So me and Trap end up jumping on a phone call and ran through more details. And that's when we came up with the name. We just brainstorming. And that's when we came up with the name Asset Island. And the goal is because I'm like, yo, listen, 40 acres is cool. 40 acres and a mule represent a lot to our culture, right?
Yes.
But then it's a lot of benefits that's going to come with it as entrepreneurs. And it's a lot of uncharted territory as blacks in America when it comes to farming, when it comes to agriculture, when it comes to land ownership. It's a lot of ignorance there. And I'm still not fully educated on it. But what I realize I do know The tax benefits is crazy, right? The learning curve is crazy, so it's a lot for us to learn and expose our community to, and for us to be able to put our own food on our table, to be able to grow our own food, to be able to supply black-owned grocery stores. You know, it's a lot of benefits that come with it. And so what we automatically looked at was like, listen, Asset Island, the reason it's Asset Island, we got the wealth wishing well.
The wealth wishing well.
The wealth wishing well.
So you throw $100 down the well and you make a wish?
Now listen, so you get...
How much you get out?
You get the Asset Island coin when you come, right? It's a token. It's a token of the property. What happens is you drop the token into the well. When you pull water out, you're going to actually go plant your dreams and your desires. You're going to plant your wealth. Mm-hmm. So now let's just say we're doing something collard greens or kale or spinach, right? You literally come out and you plant your wealth. But what happens is you now get to give life to what it is that you desire. You get to give life to your wealth. And guess what happens is that something like spinach, something like kale, it goes on and gets donated to a black-owned grocery store. Well, these are things that give life. So now you're giving life into people that's going to live forever. Mm. So you don't know how many people your wealth when it was born, how much life you gave it when you planted it. When you planted that seed, you gave it so much life that's going to live forever. And so this is one of the things that like Asset Island is about, is that it's not just the education, it's not understanding everything. It's about coming out and being able to actually plant your wealth and let your mind, plant your wealth and let it live forever. You know what I mean? And give life to the things you dream of and the wealth that you desire.
This is so powerful.
That is powerful.
This is so powerful. That. When I saw that, I was so proud. Shout out to Denise the Broker, my boo.
Shout out to Denise.
I'm so happy for her, but so happy for you guys for really getting this, because the 40 acres does represent a lot for our community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And to turn it into a place where they can come and just see their dreams grow. I can't wait to visit. I need to be
out there. Nah, that was a lot of bars right there.
Yeah, that was everything.
I didn't expect that.
That was everything.
I'm even gonna hold
you
up.
It's not just about it's not about the form. Mm-hmm. It's about the dream.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, and this is the benefits of this, right? Is that right now, and I tell people this, it's like, look, it's such a benefit, is that imagine that we put a few small houses on the land and let people come out, right? Not only, you know, we educate people on so much, but it's so loud in the city. It's so hard to digest. People can listen to this episode, but if you're listening to this episode and your baby crying, if you're listening to this episode and your husband is yelling and he got an attitude or he want tacos for dinner and you ain't made them yet, if you know your neighbors is banging in the window and you know it's such a distraction in life that sometimes we don't get to digest the wealth and the information and knowledge deeply. So one of the things about it is that when we gonna do retreats on Asset Island, it allows people to come out to the country where it's quiet, where you can actually meditate and you get that peace and quiet for the things that you learned and the knowledge that you gained, where you can sit and actually let it really settle in and it's nothing here, but it's us.
You know what's so crazy? All I'm hearing is multiple streams of income.
It's just falling out of Asset Island.
I'm hearing Asset Island is just like... I'm here. Agriculture. Trap was online talking about he gonna get chickens and shit.
Chickens.
Like he gonna have birds like Tyson. Like all types of shit.
Trap the farmer, right?
Farmer
with Big Trap, because Trap gonna handle the farming, right? I'm only playing with the horses, right? I'm going to get two horses, right? Uh-huh. But he already started farming with Big Trap. So the things that grow in a different agriculture, the reason why he was telling me about, my man was telling about like different forms of meat, halal meat, this, that, and the third. It's just so much that we can do. We already got like 300 pecan trees. And so what happens is that now it's just going to be such an experience, right? And like you said, so many forms of income. Well, I got a big mouth and I always talk numbers. I can't help it. But I said, look, man, we're going to let 10 people come out. It's $5,000 to come spend a weekend on Asset Island. Mm. We do it once a quarter. We can donate our time once a quarter and let 10 people come out for $5,000. It won't be more than $10,000. I said, listen, if it's more than 10 people here, when you get here, we get a refund, right? 10 people come out, spend that weekend with us. We learn together, we grow, we meditate, and you know, the whole experience. But then we educate you on not only agriculture, on the things that we got, what we did to get here. So it's going to be investing with Trap. It's going to be the credit with me and everything combined, and then understanding the power of this land. But I said, well, sure, well, Trap, that's $50,000. That's $200,000 in a year. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that pays for the form. That pays for the upkeep. That pays for everybody to be able to come and get that experience. So now the farm paid for itself. Now when we donate everything that we grow, it's a tax write-off.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Whatever we sell, it's all profit.
Yeah.
What's the reason why it's called Asset Island? We know.
I know it was a reason behind the name. Right? I said, I know it's the story behind it.
It's assets over liabilities. Can't nothing cost us. Everything got to benefit us.
Everything has to benefit.
No liabilities allowed.
No liabilities at all. And none. I love to hear that. So when you're talking about, so we're talking to people now, like, you know, you big, 40 acres, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk to the first-time home buyer that's getting prepared. If you can talk to the first-time home buyer right now and say, listen, these are three things I would recommend you do if you know that you have challenged credit or even no credit. What should they do to really get themselves prepared to purchase a home?
If I'm a first-time home buyer, and it's three things that you have to do, the biggest thing is, for me, experience home ownership, right? I grew up in the projects. I didn't know what it was like to have a home, right? I bought a mansion because I rented a mansion for my birthday. And I stayed in it, and I realized that four of my brothers was here, full-grown adults, and I couldn't hear or find them in the house.
Mm.
And I remember growing up where if you needed somebody, you just say their name.
Yeah.
Because you can't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up 600 square feet, hard, no carpet. You know what I'm saying? Everything tile, cement. So it put a different feeling on me of actually being exposed to it. And I'm like, damn, I thought I was doing something with the house I had. Until I realized this, I said, nah, this is comfortable. That motivated me to want to go out and buy. I said, well, listen, some people don't know the benefit of having a home. I said, listen, you working, you taking care of your family, you getting your credit together, go on a vacation for 7 days to Florida and rent a house. Go rent a house that you probably can qualify for, a $500,000, $600,000 house. Put your kids in, understand when they can go outside in that backyard and play with the toys and everything set up. Go rent it and see what it's like. Now it puts a different drive in you to be motivated to actually buy, right? Understand that you can't build wealth without owning real estate. The easiest way to build wealth is in owning real estate. Absolutely. So when you say you want to be wealthy, when you look at your kids, when you look at your family, when you look at your lineage of what's going to be left behind, is that what assets are they going to own? Well, if it's three things that you need to do, I'm going to start with your mindset. I gave you the tools on credit. I gave you the tools on how to go get money if they picked it up or not.
Mm-hmm.
Told you go to Bank of America and get two credit cards at once. I told you go to Amex and run the play up. You another one. You can go to Barclays and get large lines of credit, right? You can go to First Tech Financial. First Tech Financial is another credit union that give large lines like Navy Federal used to do. I'm giving y'all the plays of where you can go and get the capital. Once you get the capital, what you do with it is up to you. But now that's where home ownership come into play, because now you got capital. Now you're looking to purchase home, and once you purchase that home, understand how you can really build and grow. Take it to the next level. So the three things is, one, go experience what it's like to spend time in a home. Put your family in a home with you. Put your mom in that home with you and see what it's like. Like, nah, we didn't grow up like this.
Yeah.
This is different.
Or go rent an Airbnb for a weekend. Take your family out. Experience it.
Boom. Get your credit together. Once you get your credit together, you know, understand the benefits of credit, how it can help you generate capital. Most important thing is, listen, I want to generate money off of having good credit that can help me establish wealth. It's four quadrants in life that everybody got to focus on: earned income, semi-passive income, passive income, and investments. And that investment portfolio is majority real estate. So it accumulates, it grows in equity, and it could generate cash flow if you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things I would like for people to do when it comes to home ownership.
Look, I love it.
Phenomenal
Look,
we got to do it. We got to do it. Go ahead.
I need to know about Jet 500 real quick, right? Because we're talking about real estate.
I'm going to do the rest of
you. We're going to do that too. But, you know, we're talking about real estate show.
Well, you know what?
Right?
The Jet is actually, it definitely is an asset.
Look, Rick Ross said on Assets Over Liabilities show, shout out to Rashad and Troy.
He said
some people, in his Rick Voice, some people think a jet is a liability. But you know, that might be an asset for the next man. Well, you're the next man I know who got a jet.
So let's talk about it.
So let's talk about this jet real quick, real briefly. Like, because most people say buying planes are a bad investment. Mm-hmm. But you flipped that. You made it into an asset, not a liability.
Yeah. So let me explain something to you on
that
the journey.
That was probably a bad Rick Ross impersonation battle.
But you did great.
But it was 100% right?
It was authentic.
Yeah. Shout out to that episode. I was the first thing mentioned on that episode.
That is a fact.
So, but with the jet, what happened is that I turned it into an asset. And the reason it became an asset because I started understanding the industry. I was brokering jets, running, jumping off of planes. You know, we play with the lifestyle. Like, I only want to do fly shit. I don't care. If y'all got a fly setup, I'm like, y'all want to go. I just want to do fly shit.
Yeah.
So that's the reason. I'm like, I want to do fly shit. So I'm like, I seen people taking pictures on the jet, and I want to know what it was like. I tell you, I'm from the projects. Like, I'm really like a project baby. Like, my TED Talk, I say I'm a crack baby, born in the 80s, crack baby. I'm a project baby. We had nothing. Mm-hmm. So the nice cars got experience. I was like, cool, but what's them private jets like? So I started jumping on private jets. I learned how to get on private jets for 90% off. I was paying $300 to jump on a private jet, right? I was flying on a companion pass to New York, get on from New York and fly back down to North Carolina, right? To the Cub, and then I'll come back home from North Carolina just to see what that experience was like. Man, I jumped on that jet, and it was a different treatment. So now I'm getting lobster rolls ordered. I'm on the plane playing my own music, taking pictures, and I'm like, yo, this is different. What happened is I jumped on the jet, took the picture. People started hitting me up about private jets, asking me about it. I ain't have nothing to tell them about. I ended up broke getting with a company and partnering with them and telling them I would send referrals for people who wanted to book jets. So people always was hitting me up like, yo, I need a jet connect. So now people brokering jets and I'm getting paid from it. So I said, cash flow. So now it only made sense. So now I'm making money off of sending people in referrals. So now what happened is that I'm making money online, my business is growing, and Grant Cardone, I ain't gonna hold you, Grant Cardone motivated the move. It was like, yeah, you can fake a Lambo, but you can't fake a jet.
Whew.
And I looked at everybody else online and said, you can fake a Lambo.
You can't fake a jet.
And you can't finance it. Unless it's $30 million.
You
got to pay for it.
This is heavy talk right now.
This is heavy talk.
So I went and some people presented me with a deal to buy a jet. And I was like, I thought about it and I'm like, how much money will it make? They showed me the P&L. They said, listen, if you stay off of it, you can do about $20,000 to $30,000 a month. I said, okay. My accountant goes, this is important to team. As we start building wealth, you got to have the right team in place. So my accountant was like, tax write-off, crazy. I already knew the tax write-off on the truck. Y'all seen what I did at the wedding for my wife and stuff. You know, we just understand how to win.
Yeah.
So I'm like, tax write-off, crazy. So I'm like, bet. I buy the jet. Guess what happens is that I'm looking at it like, okay, I'm going to buy the jet. Branding and marketing. Put my logo on the top. Well, we got Moneybag Yo coming in town. Guess what? He on my jet. Guess what? Ross got to move somewhere. Look, bro, let me throw you my jet.
Yeah.
So now when people calling me for jets, I can throw the select people my jet.
Yeah.
Right? It opened up as an asset. It opened up different rooms. It's two things I want to go into. One is that the opening with the jet, I had to start learning another industry. Right? And I'm looking and going, there's not a lot of us in it. It's a reason why not, right? You can't tell me it's not profitable because everybody on jets. Every time I go to the Clearport, his plane's taking off. So you can't tell me it's not profitable. It's just not a lot of people that look like us in it.
Yeah.
So I got with a company, and a company managed the jet, right? And it was like, look, it's going to make you about $20,000 to $30,000 a month, and, you know, we'll manage it, boom, boom, boom. But it's always a learning curve. So I see 1 month, this goes out, maintenance happens, this happens. Oh yeah, this month it's not parentheses around the number.
Mm.
It's like a little minus sign.
It's
should say like $53,000. So I'm going, I spent millions on this plane. I owe you $53,000. Okay, okay, cool. I'm still excited. The blood is still flowing from, yo, I got a jet online. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. So it's like, yeah, I got a jet, $53,000. All right, another month, $83,000. Okay, I got a jet. Let me go work. I'm still working.
Yeah.
You know, I see a month, I made like 11,000, then I made 18,000. Then I'm able to do my tour. We did the tour, 7 cities, 7 days. It cost me like 50, 60,000 to use my jet. So I'm like, okay, we won that month. I get hit with a little invoice. I'm like, okay. I get hit with another invoice at 83,000. At this point now, I'm not getting on the plane.
Yeah.
I've been on it for the 7 cities, 7 days. I'm like, yo, wait a minute, bro. I paid millions for the plane, and I'm dishing out tens of thousands of dollars
every month.
I got a fucking problem.
Yeah.
So I made money a few times, but I'm going, okay, this point now we got to have a conversation. So now I'm looking at it going, nah, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't know. I didn't know that, you know, earned income, semi-passive, passive investments.
Yeah.
Thought it was an investment or passive. I didn't know I needed to talk to my pilots. Mm. I didn't know that if these
people,
lovely people, you know, certain things that they can bypass and certain things that they can do and fly and make trips. At certain times they can know when to get fuel. At certain times that they can take extra flights. They don't have to take certain time off. I didn't know that I needed to butter them up.
Mm.
So my pilots was costing me money. One of them quit. And I'm like, what did he quit for? They was like, I don't know, did you talk to him? I was like, I've never spoke to him. What I need to talk to him for? Y'all manager. It's like, yeah, but it's your plane, you own it, he works for you.
Mm.
So I just had to figure that was a learning curve. Then I figured, well, why y'all sending my plane over here? My name is 500. I'm a black entrepreneur that live in Atlanta. Atlanta, New York, Philly, Chicago, Texas, Miami. These are markets where my influence is strong amongst entrepreneurs. Stop sending my plane to California and Puerto Rico and letting it sit when it could be moving here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I have to get involved and start getting involved in my process of moving my plane.
Oof.
Guess what happens? $90,000 in a month.
Profit.
Profit.
Mm.
I go, this is the learning curve. And I say, listen, I had to get involved. I want to know another thing happens. I get a phone call. Yo, Five, we need a jet. Where? Minnesota. Bro, it's 9 o'clock at night. Nah, it's for Kanye. We need a jet now. Where you're playing at Miami? Guess what the benefit is? Since I'm partnered with management companies, we got jets all around the country. Guess what kind of doors get opened up for me since I own a jet?
Yeah.
Now, since I own a jet, people call me. Yeah. Whether they know I'm using mine or not, politicians and high-ranking people coming home that did things for our community that's crazy. They got to come home from prison. People don't even know that they coming home. Guess what? Yo, we need a jet. And we need a quiet. That's why I can't say the name. But we need a quiet. Got you. We can go to celebrities, but they're going to put it on social media.
Yeah.
We need it quiet. Now, I'm getting in rooms and having conversations with people because I own a jet. Yo, we need this. Somebody need to move from Puerto Rico to here. Somebody need to leave out of St. Thomas and come up here. I got you. I get a lot of Dominican Republic because it's hard to get out of Punta Cana.
Can't get out of there.
Oh, so-and-so going to get surgery. I know first.
I'm sick of you. You can't do that. Don't do that now. Don't do that.
It's a so-and-so going to get surgery.
I'm going to say this, though. But what I'm getting from this and what I gather is...
Yeah, you're a fool.
...is having asset, owning the asset, real estate, jets, but owning the asset gives you the leverage, puts you in rooms you wouldn't normally be in. That also helps you leverage who you are as a person, what rooms you're in, so you can continue to build passive income, earned
but
income,
also,
and
all
those things.
But also, I think what was important is you got to, even though you have these assets and you might have people managing, you got to take control and responsibility of your own
shit. I saw
that. You got to roll up your own sleeve.
Because
I said that when you said that.
You have to realize, yo, this is the best move for me, and this is where my influence lays. This is how I see it. right? These are things like when Magic Johnson said he had to change the treats in his Starbucks, mm-hmm. and or his Starbucks in his theaters. It had to be different from what it was in a white community. It's the same thing. They don't understand us. So it is a loss for us. Diddy does never see his plane, right? We got like a partnering management company. They're like, yo, he leaves his plane running. He understands his asset, but is it profitable? I doubt it, because he don't mention it. So it's certain ways that we don't get to market things because it's nobody really going in, and it may not matter to yeah. him, but I had to go in and physically make them understand how to move my plane to make it profitable for me.
So that way it makes sense. Well, you know what? You have been phenomenal.
Yeah, this has been a lot of information. We have enjoyed this episode. I know we went off of real estate a little bit.
The 40 acres. But you know what, though?
That was dope,
it's an asset. I think that we still have.
It was a lesson
learned, too. Because you know what? For the right price. The jet takes you home.
For the right price, I'll put Rants and Gems on it. And, you know, it'll be Rants and Gems jet for the right price. And now, I mean, give more money off of it.
Speaking of Rants and Gems, you have been phenomenal. You've given us everything that we knew you would.
Absolutely. A lot of credit information.
We want to have a rant and a gem about your industry because everybody can do credit. Everybody's a guru. What is a rant and a gem about your industry that you want to share with our people?
A rant, when it comes to credit, is this, is that I love the fact that it's so many, quote unquote, what they call gurus, but what I call it is the fact that it's cool to be smart. I love the fact that there's people out there that know more about credit than I do. I love the fact that it's now cool to be smart. That's the best thing ever. To come on a show called Rants and Gems for us black people, nice watches, nice jewelry, mm-hmm. beautiful watch, the fresh backward red bread ones.
Yeah.
Right?
There we go. Let's go.
That we can have this conversation look like us, and we came to have a conversation about being smart and passing on intelligence to help our community. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's the key thing now, is that it's cool to be smart, right? The cool thing is to be smart. Passing and everything that was cool is still can be embraced by a certain community, but we switching the narrative, yes. right? And so now that we're changing the narrative and making it cool to be smart, I love the gurus. I love everybody out there that got something to say, that got something to teach. As long as the things that you teach is actually something that you know. If you know it, share it with somebody else. You got an obligation. And if I told you today and you heard it for the first time, just make sure you reduplicate it right and tell somebody else, because somebody didn't see this episode.
Absolutely.
Somebody didn't see the episode before this one on Rants and Gem. So you need to go through every Rants and Gem episode, catch information, and go share with the people around you, because I guarantee it's somebody in your life that can use that information and go to the next level.
Love
Facts.
It.
Facts. What's your gem? Last gem of the night.
A gem. If I'm thinking about a gem when it comes to real estate, if you look in, some people, you go in to real estate to purchase a home. That's what real estate means to you. Some people look and go, I want to be an investor in real estate. And when I tell people an investor in real estate, for me, I got turned off by rental properties. So instead of doing rental properties, I do, and I invest into actual storage units. So now what we're doing right now is working on gathering storage units. Why? Because I can go and buy a house, yes, and the profits is 8% to 9% of the monthly rent is my profits. Meanwhile, it's 60% on a storage unit. You know, so now
people cause problems. People always cause problems, I swear.
So instead of going, if you're looking to get in real estate and you're building wealth and you building those blocks out, understand when it gets to the investment side of it and you want to look for a great return, go and start looking into searching actual buying storage units. You don't have people, you don't have plumbing, you don't have the cost is much lower and cheaper. Even the build is $60 a square foot. So it's much cheaper, much affordable with a much larger return. And if you build out a portfolio, you could sell it for multi-millions later.
That's what I'm talking about.
Big gems.
Big gems.
Big gems with Big 500. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it, man.
Basically,
so look.
You had to change your name. It's Big 500.
Yeah, it is Big 500. Big 500. That was a big gem. Storage unit. We're going to have a whole episode about storage units. Because that is a lot that's going on in that marketplace when it comes to real estate.
So no, I agree.
We
got
to have that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So look, this was a great episode. Marcus, tell them how to find you.
Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at him500. Can I give the people something?
Go ahead.
Do what you got to do.
Listen, I'm going to give you guys every credit union for you guys to be able to build with. I'm going to give you guys a list of every single credit union for everybody that watches this show. I'm going to give you a list of every credit union and which bureau they pull from, so you guys know which bureau they can pull from, how you can maximize your funding when you go out and improve your credit, and how to get capital back from the actual banks, right? So text the number, text Rants and Jim, just text Rants, right? Text Rants to 404-737-3767. Text Rants to 404-737-3767. I'm going to break down every credit. I'm going to break down the credit unions that pull by bureau, and I'm going to give that to you guys so you guys can know how to go and get, you know, 6 credit cards, 7 credit cards with 2 or 3 inquiries.
Let's do it.
Say less. Y'all heard the man. We'll put the text in the description. But this was an amazing episode.
Another one. And it was a great way to start off the new year, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Because
this was
people,
such a great
year. It's like, I am like revived. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm ready.
It's like you're starting ready. You got your first block.
I want 40 acres and a mule, goddammit.
Listen. So
after this episode, I want 40 acres and a mule.
I want you guys
to know.
We need an
agriculture business.
Right. So they got the first building block to building wealth. Through real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You guys make sure that you stay tuned. We're giving you all of the building blocks, all of the steps, all year to get you prepared to buy that home, right?
Absolutely, man. We gotta increase the black home ownership rate with 42%. We gotta get that up. And we're gonna help do our part, you know, by giving you guys good information, actionable items, so that way you guys can go out there and build wealth with real estate.
And be inspired
and motivated and go out there and execute.
Yeah.
You know, execution over excuses all day. So, look, we out of here, man. Like, comment, share, subscribe. This is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rants and Gems Show.
Peace.
Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie. Speak my rants and gems. Speak my rants and gems. Y'all can do it, we discover. Peace to all the kings and the queens where the mother lie.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.